You are listening to Fanthatrax.
It's time to head south with the Fantha from Down Under. Here's your host, Adam O'Brien.
G'day there, how you going? This is the Fantha from Down Under. Comes to you live from Quinlan's Canteen in the Gold Coast of Australia.
As I've been moving stuff around in storage, and it's interesting, when you're going through some of your storage, just how much you watch or read and then put on the shelf and kind of forget about at times, going back to it, and particularly back to some of this stuff that's just really a pleasure to reread. And some of that being, of course, the great work of Dark Horse Comics. And they really pumped out some amazing stuff. And the ones I look back on, of course, were Dark Empire and Tales of the Jedi, Dark Lords of the Sith. Just some of those classic. I mean, you get back to it now, the art is dated, but still looks fantastic. The line work on some of that stuff is of another level. And going through some of those stories, you can see how, even though it's considered this Legends universe now, obviously not part of canon, it is interesting to see where the influences have come from and where they go now as well. An interesting mythology that has been built up in George Lucas's tenure. It's interesting to see such a diverse amount of material coming up, but also respecting the past by bringing in some of these amazing things from the past, whether it be Admiral Thrawn, and even bringing back, obviously, Timothy to write that stuff as well. Now, speaking of Timothy's, Timothy Verhoeven is going to be joining me for a podcast in the next couple of weeks as well, looking at Andor here on the Fantha from Down Under. And of course, Tim Verhoeven is somebody that's been writing for the Star Wars magazine for years and also for the website. And may I say, folks, as much as I love what they've been currently doing in all forms of the media, the focus that was done, particularly with those data banks back in the day with Tim and, of course, Sandra DeLange as well, you know, the care that was taken back then and to really give us this fulfilling look into the trivia and, of course, to the universe, looking at it if it was nonfiction, phenomenal. Those guys really did a fantastic job.
This is Adam Christopher, and you're listening to Fantatrax.
Before the Empire ruled the galaxy, a rebel was born. From the creators of Rogue One comes the streaming event critics are calling the best Star Wars series yet.
Hang on!
Star Wars Andor. New episodes streaming Wednesdays.
Star Wars does not only sequels, it does prequels as well, and this is where it comes interesting. Diego Luna, he's also an executive producer on the series, and of course returns as Cassian Andor, along with Genevieve O'Reilly as Mon Mothma. Stellan Skarsgård comes in here, folks, and if you know anything, I'm a Dune fan, and a big fan of Stellan's work as well. Especially if you haven't seen it, you need to see it, Arn the Knight Templar, A-R-N, Arn the Knight Templar, which Stellan's in. Great film, and it's one, if you're going to watch it on the big screen. It's really worth watching. You know, there's nothing that Stellan can't do, and he always makes it good. You know, he's got a real comedic genius about him, but he's also a very serious actor as well. And in this one, obviously, he gets to play a character that's sort of bordering on the lines of both a rebel character, an insurgent character, versus, of course, the Imperials that are now in power. Adria Adorno plays a character in this too, obviously, that is integral to Cassian's plight too, which we'll get into a little bit of that. Denise Goff as well, and there's Kyla Sola, and we've got Fiona Shaw as well. Now, of course, this is something that has been announced as far back as 2018. With Luna involved, it just made it all the more interesting. The only thing that gets an unfair shake in this is, of course, Gareth Edwards, the director of Rogue One, which we at Fantatrax have a lot of time for. He's a great director, obviously worked on Monsters. Like many projects, was plagued by the COVID-19 pandemic and is shot in the UK. And it was shot at Pinewood Studios and, of course, locations in and around the area. What is great about this is that it's a non-Jedi story. Now, this is a story where the Jedi are all in hiding. If you want your Jedi story, go and watch Kenobi, folks. I'm going to preface it with this. If there's a Jedi movie that's good and probably better than all the others, it's Rogue One. Why? First of all, you don't see Jedi, but you see the influence of Jedi and, of course, their religion of the Force. In all the characters that are in that, of course, Chirrut Imwe and the Guardians of the Temple and Jedhar, right through to those that are, you know, fighting for the freedom for the people. And it really is an interesting way of looking things too. So it's set 5 years before Rogue One, where a time where everything's very grim, dark, And it's got a real ensemble cast, and this is what makes it really interesting. Cassian Andor is a thief in this who, from these first few episodes, we get to see him finding his feet in that world. And if anything, first three episodes should be called Cassian Andor Begins. If it was a Nolan film, it would be like that too. The series begins with Andor as a revolution averse, a very cynical, a thief, if you like, somebody who's basically just going from one job to the next. But he's also one that, as we know, by Rogue One, will become the other way too. As Tony Gilroy said, he's a natural leader and one who's able to use his abilities as a thief and obviously in Rogue One as a spy to get what needs to be done. Kyle Soller plays Cyril Khan and he's an officer who's out to stop Andor. And Kyle's really interesting in this. Like Diego, he's, you know, he's a young actor. We don't see him in Rogue One. Is this character going to make it all the way? Because this is a very hard sci-fi for what it is. As we'll go into watching the series, you'll see that it really keeps within that sort of Rogue One prerogative of being very tough, but not afraid to really kill people off if need be. Adria Jorna plays Bix Killeen, one of Cassian Andor's friends in this. Joplin Sibtain plays Brasso, who's Andor's colleague. James McArdle plays Tim Carlo, and he's Killeen's co-worker. Rupert Van Sittart plays Chief Hine, he's Cyril's supervisor. Stellan Skarsgård plays Luthen Rael. Again, Stellan delivers, folks, in just about everything he does. Fantastic. Fiona Shaw plays Marva Andor. Alex Ferns plays Sergeant Linus Mosk. Gary Beadle plays Clem Andor. Denise Goff plays Deidre Miro, who's a higher-ranking Imperial officer. Mon Mothma returns, played by, of course, Genevieve O'Reilly, another character who probably wouldn't have thought that she'd have the chance to come back and play the role, but she does. Forrest Whitaker reprises his role as Saw Gerrera, who's the veteran of the Clone Wars and trained by Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker himself, now being a leader of a militant insurgent group, the Partisans. You know, he's one of the more interesting things out of Rogue One. Obviously, he's a great character. If anything, he becomes a little bit like Darth Vader with all of the injuries that he has, too, by the time we see him in that film. Anton Lesser will play an Imperial officer. Catherine Hunter also appears as Edie Khan, who's Cyril's mother. Robert Emms, David Heyman, Clemens Schick, and Ebens Moss Bacharach have been cast in other roles as well.
Hi, this is Gareth Edwards, director of the best standalone Star Wars film since Caravan of Courage, called Rogue One. You're listening to Panther Tracks. Enjoy.
This, for me, without getting into the spoilers, is the most fulfilling Star Wars series so far. And I didn't expect it to be. I expected Kenobi to be that. I expected the Boba Fett series to be that. And although very good, they weren't on this sort of feel. This really gives a sense of the original trilogy back. And what I mean is the story takes its time. One of the key things to this is if you're going to watch this, you really need to watch all three episodes because it is a slow burn. So I'm really interested in that and seeing where that will carry itself to. And I like the Tony Gilroy's comeback, along with the work that Gareth Edwards did in the film. Tony Gilroy really tightened up, more of a espionage feel to things, the way he was sort of bringing the film together. But also, there's that kind of Bourne Identity feel a little bit there, you know, which comes from his style of writing too. I find this more engaging than The Mandalorian. I feel like The Mandalorian, Kenobi, and bounty hunters like Boba Fett, you know they're going to live. You know they're going to get through whatever they're thrown into. And although we know that Luna's character, Cassian Andor, is going to make it through this, we also don't know what the other characters are doing and where they're going to be. They're not afraid to kill people in this. And that's what makes it, I think, more engaging. And it certainly is a story which we don't know much of. Hence why I think this is the best of the Disney stories so far. It is a 5 out of 5.
For everything in one location, daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds, bookmark FanthaTracks.com for Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
We get to see, you know, a universe that is in a very grim period. The Empire solidifying itself as the governing body and, of course, the power that is crippling all freedoms on all planets. With that, too, of course, is the oppression in each planet. And Diego Luna's character is one that really has to wrestle with that from an early age. Cassian, as we see in the film, was very devout in his belief to work for the rebellion and, you know, was willing to sacrifice himself. So this story has to reach that. But at this time, he's very cynical and he doesn't want to do anything to jeopardize what he's got going currently. Part of that is, of course, some of the deals that he's doing as a thief. He has deals with the place, the spaceport, where all these ships come in, and parts and other things on those ships go missing. And, of course, he has a deal with the person who runs that, is able to take parts on and off. This is part of the deal that he also has with a character by the name of Bix Killeen, played by Adria Arjona. It's basically a running deal that he doesn't realize will lead to him meeting down the line Luthen Rael. So these three episodes really are defining what the world is, what the Empire is doing, you know, what the actual world he's on is all about. It's a very contained story. The story deals with a lot of very topical political commentary as well when it comes to, of course, the way that empires take over planets and basically mine it for all they're worth when it comes to its minerals or anything that it has of value and, of course, then casts aside. This is what happens to Cassian's planet where he comes from. It's something that is very much in the history of our planet and empires that have come and gone. It also was sort of the linchpin for Cassian to obviously take that first step in his own hero's journey to leave the planet with somebody that's basically a scavenger of parts. From here, obviously, he then is taken into a much larger world. Each time that he jumps through those hurdles, we get to see someone that's a little bit closer to the Cassian Andor that we know in Rogue One, one that's very much, you know, in the way, of course, of being a spy and an assassin, which, of course, is much more like a 007. We get a little bit of the start, too, where basically he is going to try and find what seems to be his sister. And this is in a military district. And he goes there, asks about two off-duty police in the wrong area of the district themselves, try and take him out. Basically, they bully, harass him, and, well, he just happens to be a little bit faster. And, again, it's very similar to what we saw him do in, of course, Rogue One, because he killed one of his own people. But, again, it was for the greater good.
Hi, this is John Morton from The Empire Strikes Back. I'm Dak Ralta, or Bespin Boba, and you're listening to Fantha Tracks.
The crux of the story is that he gets a setup where he's going to give some parts from an Imperial ship that he's been impounded and he's stolen the parts from to Stellan's character through Bix. What is great about that is too is we get to see that he's given a chance by Luthen to do something for the much bigger cause, which is set up by Bix. At this stage, we don't really know whether Bix knew how far along the lines Luthen Rael is and that he's working for, but obviously he's working for something to do with the rebellion, which makes things more interesting. I think this is going to be the end for his character to become obviously a part of that too. We get to see some great action set pieces. The first one being very Bourne identity-like, you know, in the way that Jason Bourne dispatches people very quickly. Mainly, this is a drama, but there's a massive shootout when Stellan and Diego first meet each other. And this is where we get to see Chief Hine down there, and obviously to Sergeant Linus. Again, get to see a lot of great actors in this, and I think that's what's made this such an interesting one to go through. But the end shootout in the third episode is just on another level. You can get some really nice little cameos of some great-looking Corellian ships, namely the one that used by Stellan Skarsgård's character. It looks like it's from one of the RPGs, I've got to say, from one of the old West End ships.
Thanks for listening to the Fantha from Down Under. If you want to be a part of the action and stay updated on all the latest Star Wars news, visit FanthaTracks.com or check out the free Fantha Tracks app through the App Store to follow us on your mobile device. You can reach out to us and send in your listeners' questions by emailing radio@fanthatracks.com. You can also find me over at Fandom Podcast Network, where I host The Lethal Mullet, Making Treks with Mark Newbold, and Mullet and Kilt with Greg Robertson. That's right, Darth Elvis. And you can find me on Twitter at The Lethal Mullet. You can comment, like, share any of our social media feeds at Fanthatracks. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, preferably a 5-star one, on Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. And as always, thanks to James Semple for composing the Fanthatracks intro, and Mark Daniel and, of course, Vanessa Marshall for our voiceovers. Remember to tune in to our Fanthatracks news show, Good Morning Tatooine, live Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. UK, 4 p.m. Eastern, and 1 p.m. Pacific on Facebook and YouTube. May the Force be with you.
Coming up next on Fantha Tracks Radio, it's Making Tracks.